Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the EFES Podcast. If you like what you're hearing, be sure to subscribe to the show on Apple, Google, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, thanks for joining us again here on the EFES Nation Podcast. I'm your host, Chase Urich. This is episode number 28. Fired up to be back at it again, especially fired up for our guest today. We have Matt Murray on with us. Matt, I know that there's a lot of people listening in who probably already know you. They probably see some of your content out there, and they probably know you from interactions through multiple channels, but fired up to have you with us today, man.
I appreciate the invite. It means the world coming from you. Me and you have known each other for quite some time, and we really got to spend some time last year. I think it was in Scotland, and really got to sit down with you and talk a little bit. And that was one of the more enjoyable experiences of my life, just hearing from you and a couple other people. So I appreciate the invite more than you know.
Oh man, I really do appreciate the kind words, and it is always fun for those listening in. If you don't know, like technically competitors, technically we're supposed to be like sworn enemies. If depending on what you read on social media, that's obviously not the way that that Matt and myself view this industry. Matt made a comment when we had a chance to meet not too long ago in person. And there's a little thing that is actually a big thing. There's a little thing to me just because it was kind of off the cuff, and I'll kind of set the table today with this, but, you know, made a post about a competitor that I'd met at a convention trip. And he was like, man, I thought that was really cool. I thought that was cool how you were just like, hey, hanging out with this guy, even though he's technically a competitor. You know, for many years, I've kind of marveled at you from afar, seeing you on social media, just giving away just nuggets to people that you have no financial gain from. And you continue to do that still this day. And you've impacted people's business all across the board. So I guess it would be fitting, Matt, to kind of start today with, as we jump right into it, like that attitude of gratitude. Like, where does that come from? Were you born with it? Did you cultivate it over time? Was there a pivotal moment in your career, whether it be insurance related or even prior? Like, where did that come from?
Well, I'm a believer, right? So I read the Bible, and it's very simple to me. It's given, it'll be given in the measure that you give it. Luke 6:38. But when we talk about gratitude, and I'll give this to anybody that's listening. Think about where you were when you were born. Think about where you were 10 years ago, 5 years ago, and realize that you're in a much more favorable position than you were before, right? And when you talk about gratitude, I wasn't born with it. It was something that was taught to me. It was something that was taught to me, and realizing, hey, you've got an opportunity. You've got this thing in front of you, which is life. And when you realize that you are the only person that's made it that far in your life. No one else could ever do what you do. No one else could ever done what you've done. You're the only person that's ever done it, ever, that's made it this far. And realizing that makes you realize that you're now a pioneer in your own life. Yep. And you have such gratitude. You don't say, I have to do these things.
Yep.
You get to say, I get to do these things. I get to, I one day prayed for all these problems to worry about these multi-million dollar problems, and then they come, and I'm like, well, I prayed for this, so I'm very grateful for all those things. Very, very grateful for all those things. And it's like, when you realize that and just take a second, you know, you're in a day-to-day basis, it's like, I got this going on. You wake up with a little bit of stress, but if you wake up with a little bit of gratitude and just be like, look at all these cool things that I've had that I didn't have when I started.
Yes.
And when you realize that, you're like, oh, the world's so much better than I thought it was.
Man, you're spot on. Like, it typically, just as humans, not to go psychological on this, but you develop that, just like you said, and you develop it a certain way, in certain ways. Sometimes we develop gratitude or even resentment when the catastrophe happens. If a life-changing event takes place, and, you know, you have a loved one pass away or something happens. It's even as little as, like, if I'm in a car accident, I was being a knucklehead driving out of control. Moving forward, that's going to change you to where I need to be more disciplined with my driving ability. And, man, as you were talking, it was just kind of, it hit home. Like, mine, I've always had a sense of gratitude to some extent. Not as great as I do today. Once and again, like you mentioned, that being a believer – My faith has been shaken over the years just by my own doings, by being lethargic, being apathetic to the book, to the practice, just, you know, my faith. But in 2018, you know, when I was diagnosed with cancer, that put it all in perspective. And it was like, from this moment forward, I'm going to make a promise to myself. I may eat more cheeseburgers than I self-commit to not doing. I may not work out as frequent, but the one thing I can never do is just not be grateful that I get to wake up and do it all over again the next day. So, you know, I see that ring true in everything that you put out there. And I love the attitude, which is why I want to start off with the gratitude piece, because I see, like, what you put on social media. Like, if you're not on TikTok, or you are on TikTok and you're not following Matt, you need to go follow Matt. You're going to get 5 a.m. Matt talking about video games. You're going to get just absolute nuggets of gold talking about business. It's so well-rounded that I think that if people follow you, number one, it's going to be great entertainment. Number two, it's going to be, you know, such a great knowledge base to tap into. But you're going to get a level of authenticity when it comes to how to just treat day-to-day. Dude, I dig it. I personally dig it. So I love seeing that. I kind of nerd out over multiple aspects of what you do, and which is why we've gravitated to where, you know, we want to have conversations, and we want to talk shop, and we want to talk about, you know, just perception, perspective, all of those things. So you acquired that. You're a reader, I would assume, because as they say, leaders are readers. I assume you're a reader.
Yeah, I dropped out of high school twice. I hold the record in my high school for dropping out the most. I didn't go to any, you know, technical college, if you will, but one thing I did study was people. And I studied high level people, and when I would see them do things, I'd ask them about it. And why did you do this? And they said, because all the knowledge is already there in the books. I'm like, why did you go to college? Well, why would I want to learn that stuff myself when I could just have someone teach it to me and collapse my time frames? Right. I'm like, oh, makes all the sense in the world. I'm going to go buy books and then get what I need out of those books. And then the important part is immediately applying it to your life. And how, and this is the other important part, is how quick can I get it to somebody else? Because we're only going to be here. We'll be here as long as you can smell a fart and a hurricane in the expanse of time. Does it make sense?
Right.
Like, when you think about all time, we're here for that long, right? So instead of just trying to hold on to all this knowledge that is, there's tons of books back there. I'm actually building out the whole room. But why would I just keep it? Why not just give it out free, knowing that the majority of people won't even listen to what I'm telling them? But the people that do, it's like, I'd rather just give it to you because I've been given it to. The mentors that I've had in my life, they didn't owe me anything. They were just giving knowledge freely. And a lot of the stuff that I've learned came, you ready for this? From file expense clients.
It's amazing what you can learn in a home working with people every day.
Yeah. I'll never forget one day, Chase, I knocked on a lady's door and I said some slick, you know, salesman thing at the door. And she goes, I'm not buying insurance from you. I'm like, why not? What happened? Like, you know, said something else. And she goes, you just got here. I've been here. And what she was saying was, at the time, you're only 26 years old. I'm 72. All the things that you think you came up with, all the little tricks that you think you came up with to get in my door, I've seen it over and over again. You're not going to trick me. Right? And she was just saying, I already see through you, because I've seen it so much. But what she said was, you just got here. I've been here.
Let's unbox that, because I think there's something there that's so good. And it's so good. Was she telling you that, Matt, because the level of authenticity, it was more salesman than it was person to person? Is that what she was telling?
Correct. She was telling you, quit being a salesperson.
Yeah. If you're an agent listening in, you better get some of that right there. If you're not closing as much as you want to be closing, I know we go down to the metrics, but Are you getting real with people? That's a heck of a lesson right there. Are you talking at people or are you talking with people?
Yeah. When there's a level of authenticity that you get when you sit with a client, that they realize that you're there to get something to them and not something from them. And it's hard. It's very hard to, it's in my whole career in insurance, ever since I kind of learned it, my whole career, it's just been trying to get to agents and just unlock that part of their brain. It's like that opens up. And as soon as you get it, it's like, oh, duh. And it no longer becomes sales.
It's not transactional, to your point, right?
You got it.
Yeah, man.
No, but file expense in its raw form is we're talking to people who don't make a whole lot of money, who are older. I'm here to help. By the time that we're done here, you never have to worry about this again. Does that sound fair? Who's going to say no to that? And when they hear you say it that way, with the authenticity, they're going to trust you every single time. But when you are the agent that thinks about, and the clients can see it, it's $72 a month, Miss Jones, and you start going 72 times 12 equals this much times my commission percent times 75% advance is how much money I get paid in the house. You lost it.
That radiates off of you if you
have that. Commission breath.
Yes.
It reeks. It reeks, and it's hard. It's hard to get away. You got to like brush your teeth and without that. And when you just focus on the person and their and the guy that you know really well, I've done some YouTube stuff with him in the past. He said every sale that you sit down with, every lead that you sit down with is an absolute 100% lay down if you don't screw it up.
Yeah, no brainer.
So you just got to not screw it up. And the client is telling you where they need help. They're telling you what they need or what their worries are. And you have, you know, the products from looking at somebody and looking at their plan and going, you've got a really good plan. I actually wouldn't change anything about this. Perfect. Can you talk to my sister down the street? I didn't make a sale there, but immediately down the street, I made another sale.
Yep, absolutely. Doing the right thing is it plants seeds for future opportunities, but that's not the expectation. It's just doing the right thing. And it happens so often with what you just said. You know, if you take care of Mary now, whether it's just telling her she's in a great plan, you're in a great fit, great situation. I mean, being able, that clear conscience, being able to use at the end of each night to sleep on as a pillow is just absolutely massive. Yeah. Super important. And you've been phenomenal at that. I've seen, you've never wavered from that perspective, whether it be answering people on social media, putting out your own content. That message hasn't wavered. It's been consistent, which is also makes total sense on why you're as successful as you are. I love the attitude of gratitude that you've put out there. That radiates from you and everything that I've seen. That's also partially why I think we get along so well, that gravitational pull from that similar approach to things. And I have to recalibrate. You got to make sure you're good from the neck up each day.
Sure.
Revisit that. But nonetheless, talking about giving away things, and you've been notoriously known for this since I've, you know, first heard your name, you know, whether it was in the TTC group or any other groups, and you're just giving people insight on how to go about things. I mean, it was from the get-go, I've seen that. I want to kind of talk about a little bit as we transition to how have you learned? I know it's probably from the knowledge, from the reading, the learning, but also the application, as you mentioned a moment ago. Just branding tips for those that are out there that have made the decision to get into this business. You are a business owner, whether you believe it or not. You're more than just an agent, an insurance agent. You're more than just a Medicare agent. You're a business owner. If you're 1099 and you're independent, you are a business owner. A lot of people in our business, we see in the groups, will ask questions about, hey, what should I set up an LLC? Or, hey, how should I go about getting my company name out there? Should I open up a website or should I go on Google? What should I do? You know, any tips that you would have for branding? Because I've kind of labeled you as a master for this over the years.
I'm going to give anybody the secrets that's watching this. This is it. You ready for this?
Get your pen and paper ready.
This is a secret. I don't make groups. I don't make my own group. I join other groups and I be authentic in those groups. When people need help, I help. If I'm able to. It's the important part. If I'm able to. If I have the ability to help, I will help. If I have the time to write a message and help the person, I will just do it. What that does over time is helps you build your brand of the person that is helping. And so if you join local groups in your community, right? I live in Wilmington, North Carolina. I've joined all these groups and people need help with groceries or something. And I've been super blessed, right? So I'll help you out with groceries, or I'll help you do this, or I've had a blessed year. I want to help people out with their Christmas gifts, right? Well, whenever it came time to hire people, and I would go on that same group and go, hey, look, my company's hiring. You're the guy that helped all those people. There's an immediate remembrance of things that you've done. And you can join all different kinds of groups. And don't go in there if you're an insurance agent and just go, hey, I sell insurance. Please buy insurance for me, because there's probably other insurance agents. But you, your profile on Facebook or Instagram is a billboard for who you are and what you represent. And so if you take a serious look at your own profile and go, okay, when someone clicks on it, view it from another person's perspective, not what you see. Log in as a consumer to your brand, not as you as your brand, and see what they see. Because then you're going to realize that maybe I'm not putting the stuff out. You know, when they go to you, it's, what is it about you? You know, view it from the phone, view it from the computer, make sure it all links together and get that person into your funnel, whether it be a website, whether it be a landing form, whether it be a consultation, whatever it is. Hey, you need insurance? I sell insurance. Click the link below. And so getting one, being authentic and making good posts, and making the meta for meta is this. When someone asks for help, if you can have the most liked comment, yours is automatically going to go up higher. So whenever someone's scrolling through a post, there'll be someone that posted, right below there's the top comment. You want that to be you, because everybody's liking it. Does it make sense?
It's impactful. Most of the people that are going to listen to this, or they're wondering about it, they have no idea. They have no idea what you just mentioned about Meta. So that's totally news to them.
It's something that I've been trying to teach. It's really hard to sometimes articulate it, but it's just like, just be a good person all the time in help where you can, and just realize that people are watching you all the time. And here, I'm going to say this other secret, and this is what I've been saying for years. The best lead in the business is the one that calls you.
Absolutely.
And so if you can get people to look at your profile, call you, text you, whatever it is, because they know that you're good at whatever it is you're doing, insurance, problem solving, whatever it is, that person is already sold on you. There's no selling more involved. They already know that you're the person to go to.
Yeah. And on the same note, social media groups, you jump in, you help. I mean, I've seen you, I'll name drop. Once again, we're talking about competitors, but people I consider friends in the industry. Like you, Dave Duford, amazing, always giving stuff away. Ben Bowman out in Mississippi, phenomenal at it. He's always circling up the groups, and you'll see him drop nuggets in there. There's quite a few others. As you transition from that, kind of on the same note, so many others are afraid of where to get started with branding their business. Outside of the groups, when it comes time to push, you know, really pushing content, is your approach just fail forward? Like, don't overcomplicate, don't overproduce. I'd love for you to share kind of your insight on that.
Okay. I paid a guy $500 a week to teach me this. You ready for this? The hardest part for anybody to start producing content is to hit the record button.
It is. It's unbelievable.
It's the hardest thing to feel confident enough, because what happens is this. Okay, I know I need to make content. What am I going to say? I'm going to hit the record button. And then you go, and then you blank. And that's why I developed this thing a long time ago, and people laugh at me for it. I remember doing it to Cody Askins when people started going live on Facebook. It's such a weird thing to go live on Facebook. I know it's daunting to do whatever we're doing right now. But I'd say, hey, dab, where it's not live. And just doing the craziest things that makes you feel so much more awkward, then you realize it's not that big of a deal. That there's so much content anyways that's being viewed in real time, and people say the dumbest things all the time. You're probably saying good things. Most people won't even view your content. So it's okay to just hit record and hear me out. You don't need to do a lot of editing. I try some editing on some of my stuff, but like, I just take the video, it hit record, and whatever comes out, I send it out.
I blame Cody Askins for that. And I say that lovingly. I blame Cody for that because of the content that he puts out. Like, some of it's just like so well produced, and there's others that do phenomenal content. But I say that jokingly in case Cody, who we've done a podcast with before, you got like the motivational music and then like the graphics and the sound effects and all that. But to your point, there's so many people that have so much good stuff up here that they never actually share it with anybody because they're worried about the pageantry or the cinematic piece to it. When I can go to your TikTok, I can go to your Instagram, I can go to, there's many others I can name, Duford's YouTube channel. Like, there's so many people giving it away. Now, don't get me wrong, Dave's gotten a lot better at, you know, he's got some cinematic, you know, pageantry and touch up on it that looks great. But there's quite a few that I can name drop that just, it's organic. I'm in my car headed here, or I'm sitting in my office. I just want to drop this real quick nugget to you guys, something I just learned. Maybe it doesn't cost you $1,000 or thousands of dollars. That organic piece relates to the rest of us that don't have a production crew, don't have a social media team. There's a level of authenticity to it that this guy's like me. I want to listen to him.
Yep. That's it. I'm just a normal dude. I'm just a dude that wakes up and I'm excited every single day to go to work. And I'm like, hey, I got look at this sweet bathroom I have. This is sick. Like, I had to do that. And then I wake up and then I have this podcast room. You know, some days I'm stressed. I'm like, I got payroll coming up. And I'm like, wait a second. I get to do that. And I get to do these things. And, you know, I have all this stuff. I'm still not producing the stuff that I should. I have a full-time editor and I suck at sending it to him. Some of my best videos are me in my car, and I still get a comment on this video today that I did in TTC 2017, I think it was. And it was like, hey guys, this is how I call any lead to set an appointment, or this is how I door knock any lead. People still this day go, man, I remember you back from then, and it helped me knock my first 10 doors and get me in the business. And all I remember I was sitting outside of Columbia, South Carolina's library in a Dodge Stratus that had 262,000 miles on it because I didn't have a working computer. And I went to the library to go run my Facebook ads to go door knock. But even then I was like, well, this is how I do it. This is how I, you know, who cares? And people are like, oh, he's got a crappy car. Yep. Who cares? I got a missing tooth. Most people don't know. Right? Like, who cares?
Yeah.
Right? And if the people are poking at you, then, like, there's 4 billion people in the world. There's bound to be some people that don't like you. Or there's bound to be some haters. Right? There's bound to say some people that are going to say some things about you. Like, oh, you should see what... how Chase combs his hair, man. Like, what?
Yeah.
Right? But like, if you know what you're doing is good, believe in it like 1,000% and just put it out anyways, because there's a level of organic that's happening with social media that people are not about to catch the wave. There's a lot of AI stuff going on and how fast can we view content and all this stuff. And I'm telling you, people are looking for authenticity more now than ever.
Absolutely. And you just said something that I think is very important. There's a lot of gold in there. But whether it's in your business when it comes to content, social media, you just hit on something I think is very important. The day that you stop trying to get everybody to like you and love you is the day that you're going to find some form of freedom. And I'm not saying go out and agitate, poke the bear, and create enemies. Not at all. But people don't start talking about their brands. They're afraid to put it out there. Well, what if somebody says something negative in a comment? You're not everybody's flavor. You know, there's a reason why when you go to the Coke station, there's eight different types of drink there. You know, you're not going to be everybody's everything. And that's so big, man, because like there's some really smart people. There's some really, really good people in our business who have a tremendous amount of experience that you don't really ever hear from. And it's because they're afraid of getting smoked on social media over answering a question or putting out a video that'll help somebody. And I just find that to be absurd. Like, they're super talented people.
Well, I think there's this too, and I'll get on my soapbox for just a minute. There's people, or what I'd like to call insurance influencers, mm-hmm. that have made a certain level of income or whatever it is. And so they believe with 100% certainty that they are, what they're saying is the best, and they're the absolute, nobody's better because I've done these things, and there's a bravado about it, and I love it. But it's realizing that you're probably not right all the time.
Correct. Yes.
You know, and you listen, I could be saying stuff and it could be completely wrong, right? Probably half the things I'm saying are completely wrong. I don't know, but it's all that I know. It's who I am. It's all that I've ever done.
And you've lived it.
I've lived it.
Yeah.
I feel like sometimes I just woke up and I'm like, how did I get here? You know what I mean? What happened? And I have people reaching out to me every single day going like, man, I'm like watching you. What's going on? I want to work with you. And I'm like, really? Like, yeah, man. Like, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, cool. You know what I mean? And it over time, it'll work out. I think so many people rush and try to get there faster because of what they're seeing on social media of some people.
Yes.
That they're trying to rush there. And this is a journey. This is a marathon, not a sprint, right? But I think also in the sprint, there's a sprinting portion that you have. There's parts of the race where you do sprint and do a lot more and then slow down. And I talk about this all the time. It's work until you're tired and sleep until you're not.
Yeah.
You know, and have a work-life balance. You know, so you see some of the people and they're like, man, you don't need to be that. Just be authentic to yourself. Like, do what you want to do. You know, I love watching you, Chase, on, you know, your kids, you know, games and what you're doing there and going and enjoying your life, right? Like, I enjoy watching that stuff.
Yep.
And people think that I'm just producing content all the time. A lot of time I'm watching content and watching people enjoy it. I'm like, oh, I wish I could do that. You know what I mean? Well, and so,
you know, that's where, like, we've had a conversation and I'm going to get personal. I haven't really ever said this before. Not that it's groundbreaking or earth shattering, but to that point you just made, you know, my wife and I have discussed in the past, she's like, you probably need to have two different types of Facebook. And I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, you need one for business and you need one for personal. I'm like, well, I don't really agree with that, but I'd like to hear why you believe that. And it's, well, most of what you post, if it's work related, you're congratulating someone that you work with. You're congratulating an agent that you work with on a huge week, a big month, or one of your internal team members on a great job or welcome to the team. She's like, but you blur the lines. And I'm not indicting my wife on this. It's just, it was an interesting conversation to me.
Sure.
You're blurring the lines of personal and business. Because you're posting about the kids and, you know, Rocky's got football coming up or here's a highlight or Abby's tournament, whatever. And I kind of looked at her and I was like, you know, I do understand your perspective on that. Maybe in some form or fashion, I do need to have just a personal and a work, personal and professional. But I don't think that doesn't work for me, because what we do is so relationship focused in our business, yeah, with our clients, with the agents that we serve, our carrier relationships that don't get talked about enough.
Yeah.
You know, we spend so much time, whether it be with clients, with agents, with carrier representatives and relationships. I don't want them to see part of me. I don't want a sliver of me not showing to them. So it's like, why would I have to? We've got an Equita Facebook page. We've got an Equita website. Like, this is, we spend time together. So I kind of decided, it was like, I don't need to have that separation. Not to derail the entire topic, but.
Well, no, you're 100% right. And if you look back at a lot of our conversations, when I call you, you call me, we're not immediately just talking about business. It's like, if anybody calls me, you're going to get the same thing every single time.
Yep. That's part of the reason why I've always enjoyed our interactions and the time we've been able to spend, like Scotland. We didn't spend as much time as we wanted, but like any time we're able to connect, I know I'm not going to get like, there's no BS. Like, there's no fluff. Like, what you see is what you get, and I dig it, on top of many other things that are just you. But yeah, you're spot on with that, man.
Like, I'm always going to be like, okay, tell me, how's this going for you? Or like, the last time we talked, you had this going on in your life. Like, how's the football? How's the baseball? How's this going on? And then it just kind of bridges into everything else. But everything I'm trying to do is be like, okay, look, I'm all about my business. But like, I also care about, we're all humans and we all have the things that we want to go home to and enjoy. And I want to let you know that I care about that for you. And I care about your life. And I think there's a huge misunderstanding when it comes to, Facebook or a following. And someone said this recently in a group, I have 300,000 followers. And this person only has 5,000. I'd rather know 5,000 people individually than 300,000 people, and I have no idea who they are.
Absolutely.
And it's like I know about you and what you got going on, and my whole life, I have people from where I worked when I was a catering manager for Firehouse Subs. I'll never forget the phone call. Her name's Lolita McMichael. I watched her daughter get Miss First Grade. And she called me and was like, Matt, I got the raise, or I got the manager position. And I'm like, really? And she was like, yeah, it was because you taught me to do, like, weigh out the turkeys when they came in. And I'm like, really? And she's like, yeah, I miss you so much. And I'm like, that's awesome. But like, I've done so many things since then, but I still care about her and her daughter and all that. And like, the relationship that I have there. When I view people, when I'm talking to people, I want to this is the important part. I want to remember them forever. I want to remember about them and go, yes, I remember talking to you. Tell me about this. When's the last time? And it's kind of overwhelming because, you know, you have to remember a lot of things, but I just enjoy getting to know people on a deeper level and really understanding why they are who they are.
You know, when you were talking about earlier, we were talking about the social media piece. One thing that I was going to throw in there was the other reason why, like, I don't want to blur them is because I do want to have that human element still in the equation. Like, to your point, I don't want people to think that I live to work, because I don't.
That's right.
You know, I work to live, and that doesn't change the quality of the work, but you know, it's important.
I work to live. I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I really don't live to work. Like, that's not what we were put here for. You know, there was a quote that I think Nick Saban said, and I'll try and remember it as best I can, but you know, when it comes to working hard, I think I may have it here. What is it? It's when he talks to his athletes about setting the standard and setting the expectation, the level of excellence that he expects and that they expect as a team. He talks about, run hard when it's hard to run. Like, it's not about running all day. It's not about being on the treadmill, being on the field all day. But when we're on the field, let's do the work. And taking it one step further, which is where the comment or the phrase of the quote, you know, run hard when it's hard to run. I don't want to run my whole life. I want to help as many people as I can while I've been graced with the opportunity to be here, to your point earlier. But, you know, I think it's important for relationships, personal and business, that they see that you're not a robot and that you do have a family. They know the non-work part of you. So if it's all about my kids, if it's about my wife, if we're celebrating an anniversary, if my wife got a new car or we're out the late, it doesn't matter. I want people that I've brought into my life, business and personal, I want them, if it's on social media, it's for all of you. It's not for just me or these friends. We spend a lot of time together. So yeah, I just, not to hearken on that point or beat a dead horse. It's just, you know, I don't want there to be a line of separation there. If you're in the sphere, you're in the sphere. Let's go.
What would be a book that you would recommend to everybody?
Man, I am. Now, this is not insurance related at all. And it's an oldie, but I am right now. We've been going through quite a few of them lately. We've been talking about it. Right now, I'm knocking out a book by Duncan Steele called Meditations. And it was, it's a lot of really good insight, old transcripts, however you want to phrase it, by none other than Marcus Aurelius. I caught a couple of snippets of it, and I just jumped right in. And the reason it kind of caught me was it's Marcus Aurelius not teaching you, the reader. He's talking to himself in these writings. And yeah. Once again, the book is called Meditations, and it's Marcus Aurelius. When you first see it, you're like, oh, I'm going to pick up some knowledge here because he's teaching someone. He's teaching someone that's reading. It was him teaching himself. And I know it's not a groundbreaking new novel, but I caught a sniff of it and I was like, man, I want to see what this is about. And I've been in it for probably the past week and a half.
Yeah. Meditation is a great book. I haven't actually read the whole thing. It's what people don't realize about Marcus Aurelius is he was writing that stuff for himself. He didn't expect anybody to actually read it.
Yes.
Right. Those are his personal journals. And he was part of a stoic mindset. And so I read every single day is the Daily Stoic. It's 365 days. And I use this thing every single day, almost every day. And it's for every day. But if I miss a day, I have to wait a whole year to read that page again. I can't go back.
That's cool. I like that.
Does that make sense? So like every day I make it a habit to get in, read one page. And it's usually something from Marcus Aurelius, you know, Seneca, things, you know, those stoic, you know, people. And then it gives a little insert of what, you know, what the reader thinks, and it makes you think about it yourself. And a lot of it's just reflections on their life and what they were thinking at the time. And that's a lot of what I came from, was a more stoic mindset of how to think about things just a little bit differently. So that I would highly suggest reading exactly that book. And you can really start to transform your thinking, and you're realizing that we're in this big world and we have so many things to offer to people. And when you realize that and you've been given the opportunity, you hold an insurance license, yep, that less than 1% of the population of America hold to do this thing, you realize how important it is what you do. And that if you don't do it, if you don't do the right thing, and those people pass away, and those people have Medicare, and you didn't get to them because they filled out a card and put it back in the mail, and that card only went to you because there's no reselling of leads, right? And it only went to you, and you didn't make the phone call to set an appointment to go help them, you know, and that person was looking for help. What happens if they didn't get their medicine? That's the thing that weighs on me, because I've had the phone calls,
yes,
from the client's daughters going, why didn't you get this to my mom? And that was like, that one, you know, struck me. And I took the business way more serious. I mean, we're selling insurance for when people pass away, right? And it becomes more real when someone from your clients passes away.
It becomes personal at that point, because you were that point person. We had someone call in Friday. I'll share this little snippet. We had somebody call in Friday, and the person, we have like kind of a client service that we provide to the agents that we work with. for their talent. If they call in, you know, they can ask questions, things like that. And an agent who is no longer with us had a client who had, he had got a policy, got them taken care of, got their needs met. That policy, she didn't know where to go, and she couldn't get a hold of the agent. So they called in here. We said, well, your policy's not actually with us. And it was the daughter, because mom had passed away. She was in Florida. She had moved her up to Buffalo to stay with her. And she couldn't find the policy. She couldn't find anything. This person, once again, the policy wasn't even with us. The agent had left and wrote a policy with another insurance carrier that we didn't work with. But to your point of that level of service and taking those things to heart, like, you're dealing with other human beings. She called in. She's like, I have no idea, like, what I'm looking for. Mom's stuff is in storage since she moved up here to Buffalo from Florida. I don't know what I'm doing, but I know she had insurance. And so we just pieced it together. We played forensic scientist, and we just went through, does mom have any charges on any financial institutions in her bank account? I spent 30 minutes with this lady. And I have a text message that I shared with all of our agents that are in our chat. And the lady was like, you're an absolute angel. I called the insurance company at the number you told me about. They said, yes, we have mom. They're mailing a check, and it's on its way in 3 days. You know, her big thing was, I didn't want to be out of pocket. You know, I wanted to spend time with my family. We're missing mom already. You know, she's 2 days into this. She'll be celebrating a life. You know, my dad passed 2 years ago. I remember, thankfully, he had insurance. Thankfully, he let his son, who was in the industry, get him covered. And thankfully, all of that was in place so that we could sit and talk about dad. We weren't having to, you know, it was enough to get the funeral arrangements and all that put together. But I remember I missed my dad, but at the same time, I remember thinking, like, man, thank God I'm in the industry I'm in, because I was able to make sure my dad's stuff was in order just to get the burial and the funeral taken care of. Like, we were able to sit there with my brother, my sisters, all of us. And I remember looking at my brother, who is in the business now, like, kind of glad dad did this. Like, I'm glad we're in the industry we're in, because we'd be sitting here trying to pass the hat. Somebody's cutting a check. You take that same context, put it out there for your clients. Like, that is, it's a big deal. People get to celebrate years and years and years of memories when they lose a loved one.
I'll read this. To help end it, and this is from the Bible. It's, a man could have 100 children and live many years, but if he doesn't enjoy the prosperity of life and have a proper burial, he's no more better than a stillborn child.
Man, it's so good.
And I've read it in multiple versions, King James and NIV and different things. All the words change except for one thing, and it's a burial, right? And a burial is a proper homegoing service. It's where people come around and they enjoy getting together and talking about that person.
Yes.
You know, and so it's not about cremation or burial. And I think I used to one time, to the lady was like, I want cremation. I'm like, well, it says burial, right? Don't do that. But what it really means is we're on this earth for a finite amount of years, right? We have to enjoy the world, and we have to enjoy it with others. And when we pass away, we want there to be others that are like, hey, I'm glad that the person was in my life. And you don't want them to have to worry about all the other things. And that's, again, why I love final expense, because I'm going to take care of the thing that, so you don't have to worry about that end of it. And that's the last thing, the final expense that you have to worry about. And when you say it like that, with that gumption, and you get what you're doing, final expense sales becomes the easiest thing you can do.
Absolutely. Well, I know we're right at the time. Looks like,
yep.
Looks like we're going to probably have to do another one here sooner than later. I know you're a busy guy, but I do appreciate the time today. Matt, I want to make sure that people can find you. What do you want to throw out there in terms of social media, your business, anything at all? This is a great opportunity we always like to give our guests to look you up, find you, and maybe connect.
Sure. Matthew Murray, very easy to find on Facebook. It looks just like me, except I look a little bit better in a pink shirt, I think. I finally changed my profile picture. But Matthew Murray on Facebook, you can easily find me there. I just give out free content all the time. Murray Marketing is one of my businesses. I'm actually just launched a coaching program where I'm teaching people how to be independent in their marketing. And I'm only limiting it to 100 students. I currently have 25. I've launched it last week, and it's going pretty bonkers. And so it's been fun doing that. And one of the people, Holden, is someone I'm going to be working with. So it's just, you know, it's a blessing to do that. And I didn't want to overwhelm myself, so I just limited it to 100 people because I really want to focus on 100 people at a time and make sure that they're getting very independent in their marketing.
I love it. I love it, man. I'm a big, big fan of yours and all that you're doing. And, I appreciate the time today. We'll circle up, see when we can get on here again. And I couldn't know we have some other items on the list we wanted to go over. So, appreciate you, man. We'll circle up and do it again sooner and later.
All right. Thanks everybody. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the EFES podcast. For more, visit EFESnation.com and subscribe to the podcast catalog on Apple, Google, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.